Hello and welcome to the Hub Systems Podcast, the voice of man's model moments, the blog of the various ramblings on the modelling and gaming antics of my son and I. My name is Alex Mann, and with me is my son, Oscar.
Hello.
This week we have a new guest joining us, my 10-year-old daughter, Esther.
Hello.
And we will be returning to Esther when we come to the subject of the UK Games Expo. First, Oscar, what's been keeping you occupied in your spare time?
Actually, quite a lot of stuff. Lots of new games, and I've actually started watching Game of Thrones, which is the best worst decision I've ever made in my life.
Or the worst best decision.
Well, I'm just sad, and I can't say because I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but don't go in there expecting a happy ending.
No, I mean, you're, what, halfway through season two?
No, towards the end of season two. Oh, it's going to go down.
Oh, you have so much more pain yet to come.
I know, it's sad. I don't know how many people out there play lots of video games, but Bethesda recently, well, I say recently, a couple months ago, quite a few months ago, released Prey, which was quite a...
Which you were very excited about.
I was very excited about, and it is really good. Because they made other Preys, but they completely changed the storyline. So if you want to expecting something how they made it before, it's nothing like that, but it's still just amazing. So you should go ahead and play that.
I did like the bits where you have mimics.
Oh, yes. There are these... Okay, well, this is in the trailer, so it's not spoiling anything.
It's not, no.
But there are monsters in the game called mimics, and they mimic everything and anything. So you'll be... And you just learn to not trust anything. So you'll walk past mugs.
Two of something.
And you'll just, like, smash it to pieces.
The wrench. And there are two mugs in the same place at the same time.
Thing is, you always smash the stuff which isn't the mimic, and then walk past the stuff that is.
And what's the game you're playing at the moment?
Oh, it's called PlayerUnknown's Battleground, which is still in beta, but it's amazing and kind of silly. But you get in it, it's like a map, and then you get dropped in by plane, and then you run around picking up guns, and it's basically just an arena fight to the death with 100 other players.
And it looks a bit like
it's a bit like The Last of Us, but there are no zombies, but they are adding a update where you get zombies.
Okay, well, from my side, I've started painting the infantry from Rune Wars that I mentioned before, plus some D&D minis, including the first of Nolzer's marvellous miniatures, which I showed on the blog fairly recently. We also, since last time, because it has been quite a while since the last show, we also received our Dark Souls Kickstarter base set. Now, all the Kickstarter stretch goals come later on this year.
Which is cool.
Which is cool that they've kind of split it so you get something and then something
you get
a bit
taster.
Later. And we've played a couple of games with that, haven't we?
Oh, God.
And it is pretty...
It's pretty like the game.
The game's pretty dangerous. Yeah, we died quite a few times. But we did get the...
What is it? The first time we went through the dungeon, it was brilliant. We were like, yes, this is so easy.
Yeah,
and we got to the last... We got to the last room, and this knight just walked up to me and just impaled me, and I died instantly.
Yeah, game over.
Came up. And obviously, if one of your team dies, everyone dies.
Everyone fails, yeah. I've also run a couple of one-shots for our D&D group, because we had some... weeks that not everybody could make it.
Rip my rolled up characters for the one shot.
Glenn the monk.
He was awesome until he got incinerated.
Yeah, until he tried to hug a dragon. Not recommended. And now we're back in the campaign. So the party
which is really
barely
exciting.
Managed to make it out of Talus's lodge on their return visit.
Yeah, my character, Uro, he was just sat by the door half the session just in case things did go south and he needed to run.
Or float.
Oh, and I recently got my metal dice.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I did get the... From the UK Games Expo, actually. Right, my only purchase for myself was a large, completely zinc golden D20 oversize.
Which you don't really roll, you drop. And it just goes...
It's got a really nice font on it. It's really, really quite solid item. It's the dice of important decisions, isn't it?
Mm.
And now you're in the lair of a deadly flame dragon in the Isles of Mintam, aren't you? So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Also, I cleared out my storage unit, which unearthed a few forgotten treasures, so that'd be quite good to rediscover some of that. And I've been doing quite a bit of DIY, mostly in wallpapering and laying solid wood flooring, which you've helped me with.
Barely made it out alive.
And last but by no means least, the 9-month delayed Onslaught 2 of Cthulhu Wars.
Which is fine, because it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, finally hit our doors. Well, you say a lot of stuff. So, we had a bit of a look, didn't we? It took us quite some time.
It took us like an hour to have a quick look.
Yep. It's 25 kilograms. which is £60 to all of our American viewers of hobby goodness. And just to give you, put that in perspective, what does that look like in terms of minis? I spent an hour just photographing them.
Well, how many boxes are there?
There was two boxes. And inside there were,
there was,
I don't know, over a dozen.
Three maps. Six starter boxes.
Great Old Ones boxes, the Ramsey Campbell horrors.
There's a couple of those. There's a couple of Underworld horrors.
There's a lot of stuff. So we've been looking forward to it for a long time. And it's just having a quick look at some of the spell books and some of the character factions. There's a lot of different ways to play now.
My favourite is the that spider. I can't remember what it's called because they're all impronounceable. But its spell book is instantly win the game.
Oh, yeah. So you get six tokens. Yeah.
Six cosmic webs.
So that's quite a lot of stuff. Now, Esther, as a first time to our podcast, what things do you like doing in your spare time?
I like to play on my Xbox.
What do you like to play on it?
On Minecraft.
What else? Got a Kindle?
Yeah.
You play Heyday, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Esty. You and I went to the UK Games Expo a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? What do you think of that?
It was really fun.
What do you like about it?
I like the fact that we could just go around playing games and trying them out to see if we liked them.
So, yeah, it was a pretty good show. Next year, we'll probably go for 2 days because there's simply too much to properly see in one day. Hawk War Games were a very prominent stand with demo games, sales stand, and several tables where you could build a space station using their space station sprues, which you had a go at, didn't you, Esther? All the major games companies were there, displaying their various wares, from Games Workshop and Fantasy Flight Games, down to individuals touting their self-made and promoted games. Interestingly, of course, Spartan Games were nowhere to be seen. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. So thank you, Esther, for coming onto the show. Perhaps you can come back again sometime.
Bye.
Now, we mentioned Games Workshop there, and we're going to move on to now the main topic of the show, which is actually the new Warhammer 40k 8th edition 2-player set. So we'll start with a special edition of Hit or Miss that features just the models from this set. So we're not actually going to cover the gameplay because we don't really have a handle on the gameplay. We've seen some videos and stuff, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well after we've gone through the minis. The box is actually on its way in the post. I expect it will come tomorrow, just as I go to Denmark, which is annoying. But we will have another revisit to that and actually talk about gameplay and stuff in the next episode.
We bought a Warhammer product?
Indeed. So, without further ado, let us look at the Dark Imperium. So, Dark Imperium is a 2-player box set. It's the release product for 8th edition. It heralds its presence and coming. And what do you get? Well, basically, of course you get Marines. You get Ultramarines, although they can be made as lots of other different chapters. You do get quite a bit of different choice in terms of decals. If you want to do other factions, or if you want to make your own one, of course you can. And then some Chaos Space Marines, some Death Guard, so Nurgle's children. You also get some dice, you get a ruler, you get a couple of books on the actual minis themselves, chapters, full hardback rulebook, and a cheat sheet, a quick guide to the rules as well. Overall, this is looking like quite a nice introductory set. The price point is £95, which is about what 2-player sets cost. That's very similar to what Spartans Return of the Overseer is.
Probably towards the more expensive side.
It is, but you can find it online for a lot less. So we actually paid £76 from Chaos Cards. It is available from other retailers. They will Wayland Games, the Troll Trader, all sorts of people will do this set. So it is available for quite a bit less than the £95 sticker price as always. Now, if you actually look at what you get, even if you're considering the £95, that gets you the full rulebook. Now, the rulebook by itself, I think, is £35. And it's a full hardback rulebook. It's not a cut-down version or a man-bag-size version or anything like that. It is the full, proper rulebook. 280-page hardback book, and we know Games Workshop are very good at doing very nice books.
They are good at making books.
I'm sure that's going to be the quality you would normally expect. 224-page sort of codex, mini-codexes for the Primaris Space Marines, who are kind of like the Space Marines derived directly from the Primarchs, I believe. So they're a bit bigger than normal Space Marines. The good thing about that is that they're proportioned pretty
well. Oh, yeah. We'll go on to that when we look at the models.
The other nice thing, and a couple of people have mentioned this when they've looked at this set, is the ruler. So the ruler is actually made of clear plastic. So you can actually put it over stuff, and it's marked in inches all the way across, so it's very easy to see exactly where it goes. So it's a tiny, tiny thing. But if you imagine those red plastic sticks you used to get in those sets before, which were pretty horrible.
They're good for whipping people with, that's about it.
Yeah, and they did break if you did that a lot. And if you put them in a bag, a plastic bag, they always stuck through, and they were pretty nasty. Nobody ever really used them, I don't think.
Apart from hitting people.
Yeah, apart from for silly things. So that's a really nice touch, actually. Although it's not much, it does add to the ease of playing the game. So that's a good thing. Dice, we can always use more dice.
I think you're going to be needing more dice than that.
Probably, yeah.
8 dice.
From what we saw. No, I think there's... What, 3,
oh,
6,
my bad.
12. 12.
You're still going to need more than 12.
I think most people probably have more than 12 dice, I don't know.
Well, yeah, no one who's spending as much money on a set has...
Okay, so let's have a look at what this set actually provides. So let's jump right in and start with the Space Marines, because obviously they're everyone's favourite.
Right.
So you get 22 Space Marines. You also get 31 Death Guards. So now we've got 53 minis in our box set, plus the big box. So actually, if you think £35 for a rule book, £30 each for the Marine sets.
It's better than the Primark set that was 4 for like 70.
Yes, that is true. So let's take a little look at the first chap, the Primaris Space Marine Captain. Resplendent in cloak and iron halo, says the fluff. You do get a nice 360 of this chap on the website, so if you want to go across to Games Workshop and have a little look at the Dark Imperium set, you have him here. He's holding a power sword aloft. He's got a power fist with bolter attached, a little mini bolter, which has an ammo feed that goes back to his backpack, which is quite nice. I quite like that.
I like that, yeah.
He's got a cloak, which is sort of splayed out slightly, and he's got this new, I think it's the Mark 10 power armour.
I was just being really thick, and I was like, Mark X power armor, that's pretty cool.
So, Oscar, what do you think of this guy? Because you're not a big Space Marines fan, so tell us about this chap.
Well, when the first time I saw these guys, I actually liked them. You know, shock horror, I really don't like Space Marines generally. But, like, I just think having the proportions correct makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah. Because these are considerably bigger than normal Space Marines. They are taller, and I think they're wider.
That's actually,
as you say,
well,
the proportions.
They've actually got like a belly version. It's not just chest legs.
Yeah, stumpy legs.
Exactly. And I don't know, the shoulder pad is kind of there a little bit more, I don't know, manoeuvrable, I'll say, because the other ones, they'd be bigger than the whole body. It just looks nice and cleaned up.
Yeah, and... I mean, this guy is a captain, and yes, he is a little bit fetished, but, you know, he's got the traditional winged skull on his chest. All Space Marines have that. He's got a chain with some little caskets for his groin bones and groin scroll.
Oh dear.
Not quite sure why he needs those, but...
Just rephrase that sentence, Dad. Groin bones.
I rephrase nothing. He's got a couple of purity seals. He's got another winged skull on his left shin.
And his fist.
He's got one on his fist.
But if you look at everything else, it's just simplified. Like his backpack, look at that.
Yeah, his backpack's nice and clean. It's just got an Ultramarines symbol on, which is obviously transfer. It's got a little skull on the ammo feed for his fist bolter. It's quite a nice mini. It's got quite a good sense of movement to it, without being silly, without having his foot upon a rock. The only thing I really struggle with, but isn't my personal thing, is the iron halo. I'm not a big fan of that.
It doesn't bother me, actually, to be honest.
Well, I think even if it does bother you, really easy to clip off.
Oh, and then just smooth down, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's got quite a Terminator-esque sort of... I like the way this
Mark
10
nice.
Armour sort of comes around the
helmet. Around the head, like protection. Yeah.
He's also got a helmet on.
And a nice helmet. I prefer the long helmet.
Yeah, but he's a captain wearing a helmet. I mean, that's almost unheard of.
It must be broken somehow. They just can't get it off. He wants it off really badly.
So I'm going to say one thing that this set kind of represents, and this model is sort of representative of that as well, is it sort of shows that it looks like Games Workshop have been listening.
Ah.
Which, who would have thought it? Who would have thought it a year ago when Age of Sigmar was resplendent and Games Workshop was still doing stupid stuff.
Do you think one of the managers has just walked, like, woken up from his slumber and just thought,
they have a new CEO.
Exactly. It's literally just like, what the hell are you doing? But let's not speak too soon.
I mean, yeah, Games Workshop, they still do some stupid stuff. You know, and we wait to see what the rest heralds. But
let's not
first pass. This looks all right.
I was going to say, but let's not get too excited.
Okay, so the next guy is the Primaris Space Marine Lieutenants, or guys, I should say, one armed with a power sword and bolt pistol.
Are these just your average troopies?
So these are the lieutenants. These are like squad leaders.
Oh, okay.
And I really like this guy with the bolt pistol and the power sword.
I like his sense of movement.
Sort of stepping forward. He's got the other arm.
Swing up, look.
And I really like the proportions now of the Stormbolter, the bolt pistols, and the... I think they're called Stormbolt rifles.
But they just... The rifles look so good.
Much, much nicer. Also, it looks like the holster could actually accommodate the weapon, which in the past they really haven't.
And look, he's got like ammo bags. His feet and legs look like they could actually be in there.
Yep, good proportions again.
Nice backpack.
It's just a nice mini. This is a really nice mini.
I like his Go Faster stripes.
I really like that. I really like the paint job that they've done.
Oh, really? I would get rid of that completely.
Really?
Yeah. Don't like the stripes on his head.
I do like that.
Really?
See? Different strokes for different folks.
Indeed. Do you have to have these guys ultramarine as well?
Because nope.
Good.
Nope, they... And we'll come to that as we go through.
I was going to say, I might get murked for this, but I really don't like... wouldn't paint my Space Marines blue.
Oh, I think there's an awful lot of people who don't like the Smurf look.
Good, yeah.
So, yeah.
What would you have them?
Well, I was an ultramarine player, if you remember.
You were, and you did do blue.
But I don't think I would do ultramarines now. I think I would do something different. Not sure what.
Look how good that guy looks.
Then you have... Okay. This guy is a little bit of a return to form, because this is a lieutenant who doesn't have his helmet on. But he does have it on his belt, which I think is quite a cool little addition.
So you could put it back on if you really
want. And I think, you know, I don't know whether these have alternative heads as well, so they could well do. I don't know, because we've not seen the sprues yet. But again, he's got a really cool bolt rifle with sort of a drum magazine, which looks quite good. He's quite tough. He's got a couple of long service studs. Yeah, he's just looks a bit of a badass.
Mm. And he's just a normal dude. Like, obviously, he's got Space Marine stuff, but he's not standing on a rock. He hasn't got a skull.
He's not covered in skulls, no. I mean, say he's a Space Marine, he's got a skull in that little, you know, whatever the little holy thing it is, belt. He's got the traditional chest winged skull. That's it, as far as I can see from here.
But it just looks like he could actually be fighting, like he'd actually be, you know, doing all the tactical stuff. Other Space Marines just look like they'd stand and shoot, but these guys look like they could be doing the rolls, like going down, crawling forward.
Yeah,
like
I think that comes from the proportions.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Okay, then we have the Ancient, who is obviously the standard bearer, carrying the Adeptes Astartes banner. And even, you know, again, standard bearers sometimes just look very static. This guy, yes, he's holding a banner, but he looks like he's prepared to whip up that bolt rifle at any time. And I think actually he'd let go of that banner and just blaze away with it and then pick it up.
I was going to say, like, really, we're going back to the Romans for doing this. It's just like, surely, why?
You've got to display your colours, they're proud.
No, tactics, you don't do that, do you? We're here!
Who said there was anything to do with tactics with these guys?
Yeah, good point, we are talking about Warhammer.
Yeah. Okay, and then you have the squads, the base squaddies. Again, you've got sort of five-man squads, I think you get two of these five-man squads, which basically means you get two of each of these poses. And again, just really nice-looking minis. They've got a sergeant who's quite animated, pointing with his gun up. You've got the others in various different poses. Just really nice-looking minis. Really nicely proportioned. These bolt rifles look, I say, much better than the old bolters, although completely nonsensical, of course, because... As bolts are kind of like mini missiles, they don't actually need any sort of length of shot to propel them. But that's besides the point.
Yeah,
it's a Warhammer. It doesn't make any sense.
Looks better.
Yeah. There's a 360 of the sergeant actually on the website as well. And again, I really like these little, you know, the ammo pouches, these little round canister kind of...
Probably grenade.
...cover things that they've got. Well, it looks like a little... They look very World War II sort of pouchy.
Yeah, they do.
Those black leather pouches that you get that they put whatever in.
It's got a pistol in the back.
Pistol in the back. That's just really, really nice, clean mini. And again, the helmet just clipped to the belt. I love these extra panels on the side of the leg armour as well.
Yeah, basically, I just really like these guys.
So there's not really much to fault about these. And the paint jobs are quite nice.
Yeah, well, that's one thing you're always guaranteed, to be quite honest, from Games Workshop.
You get, say, two of these five-man, they're called Intercessor squads. Then you get one three-man Primaris Space Marine Inceptor squad. Now, these guys apparently come from orbit, these little suits they've got. And originally I wasn't that keen on them. I think the views on the website don't do them justice. Having seen these in the flesh, they look a lot better than on the website. I don't particularly like the little shields on each of their bolt pistol machine gun things. Because why?
Just very to protect silly. Them, Dad.
Yeah, but it's just like, really? Protection? What's that going to do? It's going to get in the way of shooting it. It's like, I can't see what I'm shooting at because of this little shield.
I don't know. Like you say, these don't do them justice. I can't really...
So again, there's a 360, and a 360 actually just show it a bit better.
Okay, the legs... Okay, the backs actually look quite nice. I like the jetpack with the like movable fins.
Yeah, so when you actually look at it from the front, especially when they're all together, their legs sort of splayed out. They look a bit like, what?
Yeah.
A bit very static. But actually, when you see them from the side and things, it doesn't give that impression at all. So I'm still not 100% convinced about them, but I'm a lot better with them
than
when I first saw them.
The rockets and the, like, foot pads.
Spring-loaded foot pads. I just imagine them jumping. But boing, boing.
Yeah, they're not actually flying. They're like grasshoppers, isn't it? They just jump.
Yeah, also, I like the new flying stand. That's quite good.
How long do you think it'll last till that breaks?
That's the only worry. But that's a worry with any flying stand, isn't it?
Yeah.
So overall, you know, not bad. Then we come on to the piece de la resistance with the Marines, which are the Hellblasters.
Yeah.
The Hellblaster squad. So these are guys with big plasma rifles, our favourite weapon.
And they've made plasma rifles look even nicer.
Yeah, I mean, plasma rifles always look cool before. Or plasma guns, as they were. Well, these look really good. Look really nice. I don't particularly like the sergeant's mask thing. I never have when Space Marines have had that. Always makes them look a bit chaosy, I think, to me.
Maybe they'll have different heads.
It's a different head. Or, if not, you can always clip that head off and just stick another one on. So again, nice, clean-looking models. Great-looking guns. What's not to love?
These look more like the original Space Marines, if you know what I mean.
I think it's just because of the size of the guns. You don't really get
the shoulder to see the plates, I think. Shoulder
pull
guards,
guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the guns look so good.
They do. And again, when you actually see them in the flesh, they look a lot better than some of these web pictures as well. Not that Games Workshop don't take good web pictures, but just the actual minis look really good. So what do you think of the Space Marine portion of this set, then, Oscar? Hit or miss?
I think it's a hit, actually, which is surprising. Cause, like you said, I'm not a huge Space Marine fan, but these are really nice. They look really cool.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Which, again, is slightly surprising, given our scorn for some of what Games Workshop has been doing over the past couple of years. So let's move on now to the Death Guard. So, you get more Death Guard minis than Space Marines. So, obviously, Games Workshop prefers chaos.
No. Well, they are cooler.
Now, the reason for that will become apparent, obviously. But first of all, let's start off with the Death Guard Lord of Contagion. As Games Workshop puts it, a huge, terrifying Chaos Space Marine covered in spiked, corrupted Terminator armour, armed with a Plague Reaper. Yes, he certainly is. Big, stocky Marine with three different cloaks. An undercloak, a chainmail cloak, and an overcloak.
It's because he keeps ripping them.
He doesn't take good care of his cloaks, does he? Look at the state of them. He is squashing some Nurglings. So he hasn't got his foot up on a rock, he's got his foot up on some Nurglings. Corrupted armour, broken with pit marks in it, and can see through. His guts are kind of all hanging out. The one piece of this, the two pieces of this model, I'm not 100% convinced with. One is he's carrying like an oversized iron halo with the Nurgle 3 circle symbol, which then has some smoke or incense or whatever it's supposed to be coming off it. We all know what a great fan of molded on fire and smoke and stuff we are.
Yep.
Smoke especially, because it's like, it really doesn't work. And he's also got sort of a ball hanging from one arm. We should be doing the same thing.
Incense sensor, yeah.
Not digging either of those bits.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I don't know. I think the ball on his arm doesn't actually look too bad.
But and the other thing is, I think this Plague Reaper thing is like an axe with the front cut out and then three gears put in so that it can, like,
chew up
stuff. You can imagine an arm going in there and just getting sliced off.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an orc weapon to me.
Oh, yes. I was thinking that.
So I would have preferred to have seen...
just like a scythe.
Yeah, just like a big axe or something. Because other than that, he looks quite Typhus-like.
Yeah, I was going to say...
the old Typhus. Metal Typhus.
But Typhus is one of my favourite models.
Who is such a cool model.
And he's still, just got a scythe. And he was so powerful.
Yeah. So, and the great thing is he'll still be here. So I like this model. I just don't like some of those elements about it. Because other than that, He looks nasty.
He's really cool. Other than, yeah, I want him just to have an axe.
Yeah, I mean, and again, if you don't like the plague thing on top, just snip it off. Really easy to do that. That's a 2-second conversion. Okay, so next is the Death Guard Noxious Blightbringer, armed with a cursed plague bell, plasma pistol, and a toxin of misery.
I know one part of this that you hate. I just can't put my finger on it. So it stands out. You know,
would it be that enormous stupid bell?
Oh, yeah, that could be it. The one that's just hanging like on a bone above his head.
Yeah.
He's probably deaf.
Well, he will be after having that thing. Yeah, the bell's stupid. I know some people will like it, but I think the bell's just stupid.
I think if you cut off the bell but kept the, like, curving horn, it would actually be quite cool.
Yeah, then it would look like a corrupted Chaos Marine. You know, he's holding what looks to be nasty spiked mace, which looks a bit like a toilet plunger, but we'll forget it.
Nasty. Oh my god, Dad turned the model around.
He's already got other bells. He doesn't need that big, stupid one.
From behind, that Nurgling looks like Donald Trump.
Oh yes. They just paint it orange.
Bloated fatten with a bad hairstyle.
Obviously Nurgle hates this guy because he's carrying all these sort of spiked balls.
Does Nurgle really like anyone?
Nurgle gifts all of his children with bounteous blessings of disease and plague, but this guy is just given 4 spiked balls that is attached to his backpack.
Constantly hit him in the back of the legs.
Yeah, his shins, his calves will just be totally mashed up.
That's why he's got armour.
Yeah.
It's actually the most like nice-looking piece of his armour.
Yeah.
It's probably because he has to get it replaced every, like, 2 days.
So there are some bits of this model that I think are classic Games Workshop silliness.
Classic
Games. You know, the spike balls and the bell, for me, don't...
Just get rid of them. It'd still look good.
But, yeah, well, I think if you clip those off, turn it round, he's such a cool-looking Marine.
He's a really, you know, cool-looking Marine.
That helmet.
Gladiator-style
helmet.
Yeah,
he's got a gladiator-style grilled helmet. He's got this big sort of tabard, which again, he must probably trip over, but it still looks cool.
Seeing this guy running into battle, the thing's hitting he's back not of running the legs. Anywhere. He'll probably trip on that thing. The momentum of the bell will bring him forward. He'll just land flat on his face.
Gong, 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 gong. Yeah, he is the least practical Marine ever.
Do we have to go into battle with him?
Despite all of that, I still like this Mini. I don't know why, but I still like it.
He's really cool. The paint job is really nice on him as well.
It is, yeah. Yeah, the paint jobs on these are pretty gorgeous.
So is it a bell he's holding? Or just a mace?
I think it's a mace that looks like a bell. You know, classic. Just in case you haven't got too much bell in there, because...
He just loves it.
It might actually be a bell as well. I think it might have a clapper in there.
Just... loves bells.
So if you count that as a bell, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bells.
And 5 metal balls.
And 5 metal balls. This guy must be so pissed off.
I'd be angry with the Nurgling. I'd probably get rid of the Nurgling, actually. He annoys me.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's like Nurglings, they're just everywhere, aren't they? It's just like, get off, piss off. I'm trying to... what do they actually do?
Well, we don't know yet.
Good point.
So, then we have a Death Guard malignant plague caster armed with a corrupted staff and bolt pistol. Now, this guy, again, is one of those models, like the last one, that I generally like, but there are a couple of pieces that I don't.
So there's one thing that Games Workshop hasn't been listening to, and that's stop doing clouds or smoke or fire.
Yeah, because he's projecting from his hand...
custard.
It does look like he's firing custard, yeah. And that just doesn't work. It's got some flies in it. It's obviously meant to be like some sort of corrupted cloud or liquid or something, but it just does not work. It looks stupid. I think that has to go. But if you get rid of that, the sense of movement in the mini is really good. He's got some pieces of cloth like going out behind him. He's got some sort of attached to his little cowling. And they're all sort of flicking about, as they probably would be if he was charging the way he is.
The metal ones do look weighted as well.
Yeah, which just shows a really nice understanding of the way some of these things could move.
Which is good, because we know Games Workshop have really screwed up sometimes in sense of movement.
Yeah. The other thing is, with that malignant plague stuff coming out, he'd be a bitch of a mini to transport, because he's got 2 bits of cloth going out the back, and that out the front, and then the staff out to one side. So where would you put him in a case?
I don't like the staff.
No? I quite like the staff. It is a little bit fantasy, I suppose.
I was going to say, it doesn't look Nurgle.
It's got lots of flies and a Nurgle symbol.
I probably would have preferred to see, like, a metal.
Yeah.
Corroded.
I can see that. But again, you know, these are injection-molded plastic minis, so if you want to get rid of that and replace it with that, that would be... pretty easy conversion to do.
Mm.
So, because again, the base mini without the silly bits is really good.
It is.
Again, hideous.
It's like the thing.
Belly thing, yeah, coming out of his armour, which is broken in teeth and really nasty looking. He's got big claws coming out of one of his feet. Proper Nurgle disgusting.
Mm, definitely.
It's kind of in a way, it's a hit and miss all in itself.
Welcome to Games Workshop. How can we help?
Then we have the Plague Guard Marines. So these are your basic Death Guard, 7 armed with, well, 5 of them armed with bolt guns and plague knives, 1 armed with a plasma gun, and a plague champion armed with bolt pistol, plague sword, and power fist. And these guys are just fantastic.
The best one is the guy with the plasma.
I love these guys. Unfortunately, Games Workshop misses, for me, on just not giving us any more views of them. You don't get a 360, you don't get close-ins, you just get one group shot. And if you actually use the zoom in, it's just got really such nice detail. They look absolutely amazing. Each of them is different, different poses, different helmets, different armour. Just really, really nice.
If you go to the one with the plasma gun, I love the chainmail.
Yeah, just like a big whole sheet of chainmail from his...
He looks like he's not moving anywhere, but you feel like he's just going...
Yeah, he's not going anywhere fast because he doesn't need to. That's the look you've got. Also, the design of that is just like it's kind of a modern version of the old Chaos Plasma rifles.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a really nice touch.
Oh no, I've just got something I hate.
The little fly?
Yes.
Yeah, but you could... Clip them off. Horn, and then you've got a little fly.
To do what with?
I don't know, you could use it in D&D or whatever.
Yeah, I'd keep the fly, actually. I don't know why I'm complaining.
Yeah.
I also really like the guy with the, like, World War II gas masky thing.
Yeah. It's almost... What's that game with the...
Wolfenstein.
No, the guys in the dark black armour.
Oh, Killzone.
Killzone, yeah, they look quite...
Hellgast, yeah.
Yeah, Hellgast, that's it. Yeah, and the old World War II German-style grenade. Just really nice.
And again, you've got like a gladiator one up there with antlers. He's really cool.
Well, and this one at the back as well. Despite the fact he's got some moulded smoke coming from...
But again, Dad.
Spike there. Clip that off. He's going back with the plague knife, which has a bloody bell on the end. Again, clip that off. So with judicious clipping, this set goes from being good to being really excellent. Yeah. In fact, I don't think there's a mini there that's bad.
Nope.
So it's a shame that we don't get more views of them, actually.
Because they're probably the nicest in the set.
360s of those would be really, really welcome. Well, you say nicest in the set, but...
I don't know.
The next bit is you get the fetid bloat drone.
Oh.
Which is a real centrepiece of the Death Guard army, I think. In the light of... Well, it's kind of in the vein of the Forge World.
Which was so cool.
It was so cool.
But no one could afford it.
So this... You know, it's a drone. It's got three broken and corrupted rotors, two big guns, and it's got some trailing cables and stuff, which also attach it to the base.
Which is quite nice.
Really nicely done. It's just a really nice sculpt. I really like this.
I like the red eye. It's like...
Yeah, it's got a single sort of sensor on it.
It kind of looks like Nine, you know?
Yeah. And at the back, it's sort of this...
All held in. It's like...
It's like a maggot, sort of...
It goes from being, like, at the front... It's like Nine, and then you go to the back, it's like Starship Troopers with the brain, brain bug.
It really gives that sense, I think, of what Nurgle is all about, that sort of corruption of both flesh and machine and
I was going to say, that could actually be a guy, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Some poor dude who's just...
I think it's very thematic, it's a great looking model, fits in well.
What does it... probably sprays like acid and bile, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah. Yeah, because it's got sort of like this weird injector thing at the front.
Probably does everything.
Yeah, really liking that. In fact, I don't think there's anything... There's nothing there that I would change on that model.
No, not this model. Although, I just feel like it probably could snap at some point.
I don't know, because this... If you plastic. Look how thick that is, yeah, I think that is thick. Actually going to be pretty solid. And from the way the models were being handled at the demos that I've seen, it looks pretty good. For me, that's a huge hit out of the set.
Yeah.
Then the last element of the Plague Guard are... You get 20, count them people, 20 Death Guard Poxwalkers. Which are described as the rotten, shambling core of the army. Armed with improvised weapons, hammers, claws, bayonets and metal pipes are featured. And again, you only get one picture of 10 of them. So you get two lots of these, I guess. And when I first saw these... I have mixed feelings.
I have mixed feelings.
Because you've got one in the centre, and it's dressed in sort of a trench coat, but it's done white, so it looks a bit like a lab coat. It's sort of too clean, and then, you know, just, I thought, what is that? Is it a bit comic?
They look like, you know, the superhero bad guys. Like, that guy there looks like he could be out of bloody Batman or something.
Yeah. But actually, I think a lot of that is down to the paint job here. Which, although nice, I just think the choice of colours and the way it's been done doesn't actually make them look as good. Because seeing them in the flesh, they look completely different. They look really good. Because I think these should just look really disgusting. And I think they look almost too clean here. It's like the corruption on them, if you think it's a bit of nice airbrushed and blended, wet blended green on the flesh. These need to be washed with like a dirty green brown. Which is what the ones that
I think
I've seen
it's. Done. I think it's.
And they look horrible and disgusting.
Do you know what I think it is as well? Is that I'm assuming these are basically just like what the other Nurgling thing.
The fluff that I'm aware of is because the cool thing in game is that when these guys attack a unit, and they kill things, then they can actually reanimate them as themselves. These are brainless. They're just injected with the Nurgle stuff.
Ah.
They reanimate.
Okay.
So they're kind of like 40k zombies.
It's kind of like the clothes detract from the Nurgling aspect, I feel. Because, you know, the other ones, they were just, like, just gross with knives.
Well, that's because these are former people.
I know.
But I think a lot of that, though, because I was exactly the same, I thought exactly the same thing as that. I think a lot of it is the way these are painted. Because if you look, some of them are quite almost medieval in the way they've been painted, or quite comic book. I don't think that works with this. I think they have to be in drab sort of colours with then the hideousness depicted. Because I thought, I'm not sure about these at all. They actually detract from the set. Seeing them in the flesh, they actually look really good. I was quite excited about them. So it's one of those strange things where you can look at a model and think, nah, don't like it on the website. Then you actually see them and think, oh, are they even the same models?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay. Overall, what's your verdict on the Death Guard portion of the set, Oscar?
Oh, a hit. Because the majority of it is amazing. Modifying the models, I think, is definite, whereas you could have got past the Space Marines not doing any modification, Whereas some of the stuff on this is just like...
Well, I'm sure some people will love, you know, the various bits.
Oh, yeah.
But not us.
Not us, yeah.
We have to be as critical as Games Workshop as always. And using that same critical eye, even so, I think this is a hit because the sculpts are generally really good. And where there are problems, they're easily fixable problems. They're not. It's not like you're paying a huge premium for these models that then you have to modify to make okay. They're good models that with a bit of extra... you know, modification
yourself
will just look fantastic. We, of course, have the rule book, and from the picture, it looks like a massive 280-page
rule book. Can't really do anything on it.
We don't have it. But the last Games Workshop book, which I think was 5th edition rule book that I had, it was either 4th or 5th, was really, I mean, as a produced item, was really nice. And I'm sure this will be no different. It does give you a couple of views on the inside of the book, on the website, which again is really nice. I'm not sure if Games Workshop have ever done that before. So they show you core rules, they show you a little bit about the worlds of the Imperium, you've got the advanced rules section, and again, just some really nice artwork, which we expect from Games Workshop.
Yeah, they always do.
A bit with some of their beautiful display boards, so it all, the format of it will all look very familiar.
Beautiful display boards. I hate the yellow in that. It's just
But I mean, beautifully set up and laid out in the way that they do. Little thing showing the Primaris Space Marines book, Warriors of Ultramar, talking about some of the heraldry there. One on Death Guard as well, showing again some of the
different
Victoriums, as they're called. So that's all good stuff. And then it gives you a little view of the core rule kind of cheat sheet thing, which is like a folded card thing.
Leaflet.
But again, first time I've seen them do this. So it's a really nice addition to something.
It's like they're not just doing the same thing over and over, they're actually trying a new approach.
Yeah, which is great to see. And again, that plastic see-through ruler, which I think is a really good idea. It's just, like all the best ideas, very simple. The simplicity of it sort of belies how useful it will actually be. And then, as I alluded to before, we have the decal sheet, which looks fantastic in terms of clarity, the register, everything. I was a modeller before I was involved in the world of 40k, and transfer sheets, decal sheets, can be difficult to do. Model sheets come with out of register. You get like a RAF symbol where the red, white, and blue are all slightly out of kilter. It completely ruins it. These are just, they look really nicely done.
I remember trying to apply one of my of those things. It's just like, this is quite... never mind, it's a crumpled mess. It's like,
yes.
Patience is key.
But you've got chapter markings, and it shows you which are the Hellblasters, which are the Intercessors, which are the Interceptors. It's got the characters. So it's all clearly laid out on the sheet. It shows you chapter markings, squad markings, campaign badges. You've got some other little nice bits, checkers and lines and lettering. It's just really, really nice.
Yeah.
You know, the way it's laid out, it's all, you know, explained nicely. And you have this for Ultramarines, for Blood Angels, for Dark Angels, for Space Wolves. And a lot of them, of course, you could use campaign badges and things over different chapters if you wished. I think that, because nobody really buys a set for decals, nobody really thinks about it. But actually, this is, you know, it's an investment for the company. And this is just really nicely done. This has been thought about, and it's been done specifically for the set. It hasn't just been shoved in from the standard,
you know, stuff.
So, well, as far as I know. And then finally, you get 5 views of the sprues. Looking at the sprues, these are all custom built for this set. So they haven't just got their, you know, it's going to be the new Space Marines. Primaris Space Marines will just chuck in the new multi-kit. These are all custom designed for this set. And interestingly, actually, you've got 2 sprues of Marines. You then have one which... three sprues of Marines. And then a couple of... these are Poxwalkers with the Death Guard. You see you've got Poxwalkers and Marines all mixed up there. And final one with bits of the fetid blight drone. The detail, the casting, the clarity, the crispness of this is all what you'd expect from top of the range Games Workshop fair of the past. So
let's hope they keep doing this well.
Unusually for Games Workshop, this is not getting the scorn we normally pour.
I thought there was a little bit of scorning.
It was a little bit of scorn.
But we still always give everyone a little bit of scorn.
Still our podcast. Yeah.
Actually, I feel like the only thing that we don't scorn upon is X-Wing. We never really scorn upon that.
That's true.
Apart from when they release bloody Clone Wars stuff.
So, what's your overall take on the Dark Imperium, Oscar?
Yes, it's good, so don't get over your head about it, Games Workshop, and screw it up later on.
Yeah, I would say, as an introduction to 8th edition, it looks like it's been well thought out.
It's very welcoming.
It looks like it's a fresh approach. You know, they're showing...
initiative?
Yeah. Well, just small things, like normally Games Workshop will build up and build up and build up. They won't show anything, they won't release anything, there's no sneak peeks or anything. The exact opposite has been done with this set. They've leaked, well, not leaked stuff, they've shown stuff on Warhammer
hyped
TV.
Hyped up, like you should.
They've hyped it up. They've given examples of what they're going to be doing. They've said about having free PDF rules online. They've talked about how the game works, what has changed. You know, they've been very open. They've had a lot of... At UK Games Expo, they had... Oh, let's see. It was at least 6 tables where they were running demos of this. And they were busy all day. And we went just on the Sunday when they were winding down. So it must have been packed previously, the Saturday and the Friday. So,
well, that's classic marketing, isn't it? Think about any game that I play. I'm always showing you, like, pre-release trailers. Then there's the cinematic trailer, and then the gameplay trailer, and then there's betas. Yep. So it's like just marketing of stuff, do it right, because that hypes you up for it, gets you excited, makes you read into it.
Makes you put your money away for it. Just think of what we've said about Fantasy Flight. You know, they announce, hey, Wave 24,000 is coming out.
It's coming out about 100 years.
Yeah, make sure your pension is able to accommodate this. You know, they do give you massive amounts
make
of notice.
Make sure you put it in your will.
Yeah, and they don't say, oh, and it's going to be great. Just wait and trust us. No, they'll say, hey, and this is what it looks like. Look, the cards are here. Bum, bum, bum. And they take
this
photos of the cards. Yeah. Here's a trick on using it. How about combining this card and then using this bit from an old set, and you can do this. And people go, wow, that's really good. I'll try that.
I'd like to do that in my games.
Or I could use this card, and maybe I could do that. So,
rather than being, wait for this, look at this, and then seeing it and just being, well, yeah, I didn't want that, and walk off.
Yeah, and so, you know, Games Workshop seem to be learning. They seem to be listening. They seem to be engaging the community, which is exactly what they needed to do. I mean, we talked about this. Other podcasts have talked about it ad nauseum, about how Games Workshop lost their way completely. We haven't touched a Games Workshop product for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, I'm like afraid that. To. What am I going to get?
You know, we've been very critical of the decisions they've made, and now they seem to be getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what they needed to do, because it's a big market, and they're a big player in it, but they've had their market share eroded by lots of small companies, by people like Spartan Games that came along in 2009 and said, hey, we've got a different way of doing business. You know, we'll give you personal, we'll gain your communities, we'll take your feedback. Now it seems the tables have completely gone 180.
Yeah.
Spartan seems to be God knows what they're doing. You know, I mean, I do feel like they're a little bit like somebody in the corner talking to themselves, still thinking that people are listening, because most people...
It's like, kids, come here, how do you want to run a company? And you know, and
yeah, but people are off, you know, it's like, there's all this other stuff. Why would I come over here to this little dank corner of the amusement park when there's all these flashy lights? And you can't be like that these days. And what Spartan are doing now, I think, is too little too late.
It's like they're being too self-confident.
I think too self-obsessed.
Or that. You know,
thinking that they matter. There are so many companies out there now able to do good things that you need more than... to be able to do good things. You need to be able to engage your community. You need to be able to spread the word far and wide. Look at what Hawk were doing at UK Games Expo. They had a huge stand. They had, what, 2 big tables. Well, they had sort of 2 tables shoved together, a big table, and then another smaller one, with just hundreds of their space station sprues just on there. And you just go up, take your kid there, snip some bits off, glue it. They had cabinets there where you could put them. For a little competition that they ran to do who was the best. And then they had all these different levels of, like, the win, the top, best few, also great, fantastic job. You know, it's really encouraging.
Exactly.
And you could leave it there, and then you filled in one of their data sheet cards for Dropfleet with your name and stuff, put it there, and then you could go around, look at the show for a couple of days, and come back before you left and get it, so that they keep it for you safe while it dried and everything.
Which is annoying, because you didn't bring yours back.
No, because I forgot. but then we have Space Station sprues, who I can also
recreate. Dad. Whoa. You can never have enough Space Station sprues.
This is true. But, you know, so they had that. They had a demo table where somebody was painting Drop Fleet.
Oh my god, the painting in Drop Fleet is insane. So yeah. I swear they just shrink people down.
Yeah, but so you could go there and say, how do you do those tiny little things on the Oculus on the Scourge? Or how do you do those tiny dots on
the Shaltari? Five different colours getting to
so they had all of that. They had their big frigate, their 10mm scale frigate.
Yeah, which is amazing.
And they had a retail stand, and they had everybody there. Hawk Dave was there. You know, loads of God, stuff.
Hawk Dave.
So
I don't know who Hawk Dave is.
He's the owner of the company. He started the company. Yeah, but that's what I mean. He's there. He's present. He's engaging people. He's talking to the media. He's doing all of that stuff because there's so many people around in this market now. That's what you need to do to sustain your hobby. Rune Wars. Fantasy Flight had Rune Wars there. Massive stand.
Yeah, because that's flourished.
Yep. A big diorama with little skeletons running through the sewers to get up into the main battle. And, you know, it was just really, really nice.
It's like Fantasy Flight have a new thing. And then they're just... Fantasy Flight don't just go, all right, well, we're well known, so we'll just put it out there. They're just like, come on, guys, we've got to do this, like, starting anew.
Yeah, and it's like, bam, bam, bam. Here's this update. Here's this update. Here's this new faction.
Don't let the rest of our games run this one separate game completely kind of thing.
No, and that was one part. And then they had this huge section where they were running Imperial Assault, X-Wing, Star Wars Armada. Just huge engagement. And it looks like Games Workshop have, like the massive oil tanker turning in the ocean, finally got the message up to the command room. Command room's given some orders and they're starting to turn in that direction. Now, I'm not saying that 8th edition is going to be great, though I've heard some good things about it, and I've seen some good things about it. Interestingly, they're still using an I-go-you-go system, so they're not using alternate activations. So I think it's probably the best of a game of 10 years ago. It's probably what they've made. But there were also some interesting mechanics which kind of break that up a bit with their Overwatch and their
things, though, even
assault
if
mechanic.
Even if you did do a
alternating activation,
would it really change your mind?
Well, the criticism with 40k... always was, with the I-go-you-go system,
you could just wipe out a person's army in one go.
Especially if you've got a horde army.
Orcs on do you remember when we used to play?
I'm going to have my go. You go away and do something for 20 minutes while I move all my models and then come and back when I'm going to shoot. Yeah. I'll let you know when I'm going to do something interesting.
So coming from a person who plays orcs, that was very apparent.
Yeah.
But do you remember when we used to do massive point armies and it used to be, say, I had orcs and orcs at low... points have millions of orcs and used to play like Necron. And it'd just be like...
So like 22 guys.
It'd just be like, please, 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 go. And then it'd be like, Necrons go first. It's just like, you know what, I might as well just go... take off these.
And that's what I think 7th, you know, 6th and 7th edition became. Okay, I'm going to roll initiative. What's yours? I've beat you, so therefore I win. And that's not a fun, you know, you might as well just play dice.
And sometimes
who
it's good.
Who can roll higher? What is it? D6?
In Firestorm, sometimes it's just like initiative. And then sometimes it'll be good to be like, you know what, you go first. Because then you can get their battleship to move or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you know
controlling
you've
controlling that activation flow is a really big
if you've got more activations than them, if you make them go first, they're going to use their activations for more, which means you've got more time when they're not doing anything to kick their asses.
Exactly. I'm going to move these two frigates. No, to you.
It's like, and then they have to move the battleship.
I'm going to move my other two frigates.
And it's like, oh, now I can move my dreadnought behind your battleship.
Yeah, you've done everything. Right, now I can actually have my real guys.
See, that could be quite good for Nurgle tactics, because they've just got loads of rubbish.
Yeah, the
cannon fodder. Absolutely. Really.
Oh, they also have, most of the army has, I can't remember what the rule's called, but basically it's like the old Feel No Pain.
Oh, I love Feel No Pain. It was horrible.
If you put bullets into them and it's just like, yeah, but we're Nurgles, we don't care.
It's just like walking forward, blood. It's like, pus coming out. And
so, I mean, the other things that they've... I mean, just we can talk a bit about the, not the rumours, but what they've shown so far. They've streamlined a lot of the games. They've thought about how do people play the game. They don't like looking at tables to look up. Armour saves are now a minus. So... it's I can't remember exactly, but you know, these, it's very easy to understand how -2 affects a dice roll. It's -2 from the dice roll, rather than it's your strength versus my toughness and
minus this.
And then you get a save, and then So it sounds like what they've done in the game is working, or looks like it should work. And this set is a great, I think, herald for their new edition. I think it's good value, actually, which is something. you don't say often about Games Workshop products.
That's true.
I think for the £75-ish that you can pick it up for online or at stores, it's a no-brainer. Why would you not get the set? If you're thinking about 40k, or you're thinking about getting into wargaming in general, or you haven't been in 40k for a while, £75 to go on this, you'll probably be able to resell it.
£50 at least.
Yeah. So it's not much of a risk, and it's, you know, you get a full rule book and you get, was it 53 minis. So even if you say a pound a mini, 53 minis, £53, so 20. Ish for the rule book. That's pretty good value.
Bit of a laugh when you're playing. I mean, even if it's bad, it's quite funny.
Yeah. Well, the games of 40k that we had back in 5th
were pretty hilarious sometimes.
Were pretty funny.
Do you remember, because obviously we never bought any orc models, basically, because we can make everything, because orcs are rubbish. Do you remember when we made the, I can't remember what it was called, but it was that rocket.
Oh, yes.
And I fired it the first go. That was my first activation. I was like, I'll fire the rocket. And it hit the side of the table pretty much between our two forces. Yeah. The thing is, it has a random effect each turn, doesn't it? Do you remember when it did that radiation wave and, like, killed more of my guys than it did yours?
Yes.
Because it explodes first, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, about, like, 20 of my orcs. The orcs just vaporized.
But that's the thing. 40k was always a fun game, you know? And apart from all the tournament stuff, you know, people get very serious about it. And it's the only game we've ever seen table flips in, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, so funny.
You know, it was fun. It was a fun cinematic game, which is what we've always enjoyed.
Yeah, like how many orcs would it take down? How many orcs would it take in melee combat to take a dreadnought out?
Yeah. Well, and they seem to have addressed some of the odd points. Do you remember when I had a dreadnought engaged to some guys and neither side could hurt each other, but you couldn't disengage from combat, so they were just stuck. So these two things hitting each other. It's like with teaspoons.
Oh no, what was it? It was my the mega knobs, wasn't it? Because they're all like power armored up and stuff.
Yeah,
but dreadnoughts were bloody powerful as well.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but neither side could really do anything, and it was just this dreadful, tedious.
Do you know
thing.
What I was?
That's gone. They've managed to get rid of that kind of thing.
You know what I was sad about?
What?
When they, you know, Pyram, was it? I can't remember what it's called. Those net. Oh god, I can't remember what they're called, but they're the Necrons with the sights.
Oh yeah.
When they made them less powerful so they couldn't kill anything. Do you remember?
Yeah.
They were so good. They could just slice through everything's armor.
Yeah. Because they had their weapons basically cut through anything, and invulnerable saves didn't work.
Didn't work. That's why they were so good, because they could kill like dreadnoughts and stuff.
And then the next edition came out and they weren't there. It's just that, and they were metal minis.
And it was like, oh, well, then
you've made
them pointless.
Necron pariahs.
Oh, that was
they had a full unit, because they were just, they were hellishly expensive.
Unstoppable, though.
Both to buy them and in-game. But you got them into combat, and they just sliced through anything. They would take out tanks, they would take out
just anything. Be like, pariahs.
The other thing, the flayed ones. Do you remember the flayed ones I had?
Oh, my God.
They were so good.
If they keep redesigning minis like they're doing like this, I'd like to... Actually, Necrons were probably the nicest minis. Until they redid them, I feel like they got too modern, if you know what I mean.
Well, again, one of the reasons we got out is that they kept retconning the fluff. They changed the Necrons. I mean, Necrons were one of my favourite armies. They just changed them completely.
What did they do?
They made them talk, basically. Because before, they were always this silent horde.
Actually, no, that's not completely true. The commanders spoke, some of them.
Yeah, but they would be like one or two words.
Well, do you remember the games? And when you play the campaign and you fought against Necrons, it'd just be like, kill them. Yeah. Every now and then, you just go, oh god. Monolith rises. See, look, they've made them modern. What is this modern stuff? So I preferred it when they were like old Egyptian-like.
We're just taking a look now at the Necron page.
What the hell is that vault thing? That just looks ridiculous.
The Tesseract Vault, which is £95. It's the same price as the new Dark Imperium starter set.
Don't worry, Dad, you could get a Legion for £187.
Yeah. £50.
Yeah. Okay, no, look. Tomb Blades.
Yeah, I didn't like the Tomb Blades. It's also one of the worst models to put together, apparently.
But, like, Necrons are ancient. Like, they're really bloody old, aren't they? Yeah. But they're like Egyptian-y, that's how I've always thought of it, like Egyptian-y old things. I don't understand why they've got all this weird stuff, and the new flayed ones look crap.
The new flayed ones are nowhere near as nice as those metal ones that I had.
With the blood on them. Do you still have them, or did you sell them?
I think I sold them. I had a full unit. And I paid them all up, didn't I?
So they were beautiful, blood everywhere. The only thing I didn't care about the Necrons is the Nightbringer. So, I mean, he was fantastic.
But... You see, this is it. Now they're Catan shards of the Nightbringer, whereas previously they were actually the Catan. So the Catan were the star gods, these things that used to feed off stars, and then they found out if they could feed off the psyche of living creatures, and that was actually better. So that's what they did to the Necrons. The Necrons were actually quite short-lived creatures that lived on radiation-soaked planets, and so they had short lives. They didn't know why the technology couldn't sustain them. And the Catan offered them, we will give you new bodies of metal that never corrodes, that never grows old.
And then they're just like eternal suffering, aren't they, inside these?
Well, they just sucked them out and they just animated them. So trick the entire race into becoming inanimate sort of
robots, basically.
They sucked their psyche out. And then they had them do their bidding to get more for them.
Hmm.
And then they rewrote them to be, oh no, actually they... managed to trick the Catan, and now they sort of imprisoned them. And
it's like you thought that happened. Think again.
Yeah, that's what really.
Do you know what was really cool as well? When all of your Necron warriors died around your captain, but he just resurrection orbed and they all come back.
That was always cool.
And it would just be like, yes, we've got them down. It's just like, no, and you've got to fight the entire army again with three space marines.
So destroyed, wasn't it? Yeah, just like, oh, we've got this unit down. No, it's coming back. It's just like, I've killed you. How many times now?
Just get to the point where it's just like, it'd be like one space marine for... Or like four space marines for every one Necron.
Well, the thing is, Necrons were tough by themselves. So,
because they were good, melee, and their shots were amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope that they've managed to fix some of the fun killing aspects of 40K, because the good bits of 40K were good. It's, you know, it was a fun game to play. We never got into the tournament scene and into the sort of mega list sort of designer stuff.
You're all really bad at tournament, hasn't you?
We'll see what 8th edition holds. We'll have a go at that when it arrives, see what the minis like to put together. I'm sure they'll be absolutely fine to put together.
As usual.
Games Workshop were very good at that aspect of the whole hobby. But it does seem they've got the message now that it's not enough to make nice minis in the 21st century, in 2017.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even do that, so...
Yeah, well, sometimes I think they got too focused on, so we'll make the nicest mini in the world, and then they just try and add stuff and add stuff and add stuff, and then it makes it a stupid mini.
You know when children...
And it also makes it so that you can't play with it, so why would you buy it?
So you know when children make cupcakes, and you have a cupcake, and the cupcake is perfectly nice by itself, and you're like, you think you could add some nice gloss icing to that and it would be nicer, but the kid, he wants to put hundreds and thousands on that, and then he wants to put the cherry balls, and then he wants to put the cherry and Skittles, and then it just becomes this weird mess that you really don't want to eat because it'll taste disgusting.
That is a very good analogy to what Games Workshop got wrong in the last couple of years.
And now it's like they're brushing off all the crap that they...
Now it's just like, you know what, people don't want that. People just want a nice Bakewell tart. There you go.
Oh.
It's just like, thank you very much, I'll take that. So, yeah, I mean, if they carry on in this vein, making stuff that actually, you know, we want to play, then I see Games Workshop could turn themselves around and actually stop their slightly downward decline. They still make money, but they're not making as much money as they used to, and I think this could actually fix that.
Make Tyranids beautiful again, please.
Well, this is it. Okay, so another thing, actually, just on 8th edition, another thing that they've got right, which is a complete departure from, in fact, any time they've done Warhammer, they're releasing all of the codexes, and okay, they're in these multiple tomes now. They're doing it all at once for the release of 8th. Before, do you remember how the Necron codex was like, I think, 3rd edition or something, where we were still playing 5th?
It was just like, wait,
and okay,
what?
Then they put it out and ruined it, but still, it's just like, okay, I have these rules that don't even exist anymore.
What is it? It's like 3rd edition. It's just like, what Necrons are you playing 3rd edition? What Tyranids are you playing 5th? It's just like, well, I would want to be playing a little bit harder.
Yeah, my Eldar codex, I've had 2 Eldar codexes at the time that you still had this one. Anyway, your codex costs £5, mine costs 12. Oh, mine costs 18. It's just...
my 4 cost. Yeah.
So now they've done what most normal game systems do and say, right, okay, here's all of your 8th edition stats for all of your things.
What would be really annoying is if you got into a race straight away and you get the rulebook 4th edition or whatever, and then they straight away bring out the next one.
Yeah, which was the criminal act that they always did. Was, yeah, we've got a new edition coming. Great. It's just like, do I get a new codex?
We never got new codexes, did we?
Oh, do we? And then you get a new codex. It's great. It's like, oh, no, we've got the next edition. It's like, oh, for God's sake, just bought this codex. Oh, don't worry, it'll still be valid for 2 years. It's like, how can it be? You don't have these rules in anymore.
The thing is, it's like,
Assault even doesn't work the same way.
It'd just be like, they'd bring out the book and it'd just be like, oh crap, there's a spelling mistake in there. It's just like, oh, I'll just release another one.
Which is sort of the opposite to Spartan, who just...
They're spelling mistakes. What's a spelling mistake?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, we didn't think of proofreading.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah. But this model has 2 sets of left weapons. Don't worry, it just doesn't turn right.
So, like, go on to Tyranids, just a second.
So, let's have a little look at Tyranids, which is always good Tyranids for a podcast, for looking at things.
Probably my favourite race. But then, scroll down a bit, because I just want to see how they
work. But look, you see, so they still have some of the good models.
A Hive Tyrant is the crown jewel.
I still have a load of Tyranid stuff.
Oh, yeah, we still have loads.
I did sell a load.
But what is all of this crap? What the hell is a
Hyrospex.
It just looks like he's vomiting up his insides. I mean, I think that's the point, but it just looks crud. The Tyrant FX is awesome. I'm glad they did a model for that.
Yeah.
But
I think I sold a couple of those.
Yeah, you did. Go down. One of these models.
The Harpy's quite good.
Yeah, the Tyranids models are generally good.
We were waiting for a model for that for ages.
We were waiting, well, and the Tyrant FX.
Yeah.
There's a criminal act in this, so go next. Like,
I think I know what you're...
Keep going. What the hell is that?
The Hive Crone? Or the Maliceptor.
Yeah, never saw one of those before. There it is.
The Tyrannocyte.
I didn't want an Easter egg.
Or the Sporocyst Amucivid Spore.
It's pretty much the same thing, but open.
Yeah. Right? Which, it looks like some sort of Pokemon.
I choose you.
So,
Oh my god, the Turvagon. Do you remember that? Swarm Lord. Is that a special?
Yeah. He is.
Brood. Oh, the Red Terror. Since when? Okay, here's something.
Yeah, the Red
How
Terror
old is that
model?
Red Terror model?
Yeah, I've still got a couple of
I mean,
Red
it's
Terrors
a beautiful
well.
Model, but...
temporarily out of stock online.
How long do you think it's been temporarily out of stock since 1980s?
Yeah, so the Tyranids, they're pretty constant.
Had
a few new bits in.
Yeah, although bloody Turvagons and... Not Turvagons, go down, what are they called? Oh, no, a Hermagon and Termagon. Do you remember how many of those would be on each fight?
I think I had...
It was like 100 of each.
Yeah, it was about 100 of each.
But then they wouldn't even matter. I mean, if you got Hermagons into close combat, everything would be dead. But it's like you could gun them down very easy.
Yeah.
Thing is, it's the lictors and stuff you wanted to look out for. Because they could take out a whole squadron of Space Marines without any difficulty.
Yeah. Do you remember, I think it was Death Leaper, when I had Death Leaper just kept preying on your stuff and then vanishing back. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because you had it in a forest and I just couldn't see it.
They had that.
Because it hit and run. Hit and run, because it'd go out, kill one of my guys. It's like Predator, basically. Just like, where is it? And
then
they would just run back.
Very cinematic. You know, these are stories you can play through.
We even painted it like long grass, didn't we?
Yeah, that's it. I had it. Camouflage the same as its base, going up to eventually sky colour.
It was very cool.
I think I might still have that Death Leaper.
You do. We kept some of the good, Tyranid models.
So overall, I think overall for the game, maybe not for us, depends on how it goes. But I think overall for the game, 8th edition is a huge improvement. I think it's going to be keeping people engaged in 40k and perhaps bringing some people back to the fold as well. Now, interestingly, what does that mean then for the likes of, for instance, Mantic, who have built up their whole customer base on dissatisfied Games Workshop customers in the past?
Pretty much.
What does it say about, maybe not Kings of War, because Age of Sigmar still pisses a lot of people off, and it's a fantasy setting. Yeah, still say stupid things. We don't want horrible baby dwarf things and stupid flying dwarfs.
We don't want Age of Sigmar. That's pretty much the general consensus.
So maybe not for Kings of War, but for instance, for their 40k-esque universe, if you can play 40K, it's like that Galaxy milk chocolate advert. In the UK, there's an advert for Galaxy that was on. Why have cotton when you can have silk? And that's that kind of thing. Why would you play Mantic's game when you can play proper 40K?
Because I swear Mantic, when they're getting it right. Mantic is basically, like, it's good, don't get me wrong, but it's like cheap, affordable Games Workshop, isn't it?
Well, and as we saw last time, that's good. And the value proposition, I mean, if we look at Mantic's web store now,
well, there's
the Mega
set.
Starter set for,
which is fantastic price,
like £99. So the same sort of price point. Tons and tons of models, but we had a problem with a lot of them, didn't we? Some of them were great, others not so much. Whereas, you know, we've just gone through that set and we've been picky and still we haven't said none of, you know, this particular group of models is actually terrible. Even the ones which were slightly...
Oh, I feel like that, though, for the zombie things. I really don't like those.
So one out of all of...
And it's not even both of us agreeing on it, so...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 12 different things we covered there.
The ones that are good are overwhelmingly positive.
So compared to when we looked at some of those Mantic ones, it was... I think we went with one or two which were okay, and the rest...
And they tended to be just like big... one-off models, not squads.
So if GW get this right, do we start to see the shrinking of things like Mantic? What does it hold for game companies like Spartan?
You know? Exactly, you've got to just wait and see.
Do those start to, you know, especially with, in the UK, difficult times ahead with Brexit, is it going to get really tight now for some of the smaller games companies? Because you've got pressure from niche companies, like one man in his garage, the guys from Shattered Void, White Dragon Miniatures. Two guys basically working from their loft, making really high quality minis, really nice mechanics, low operating costs. So people like Spartan are going to be squeezed by that sort of end of the market, where you've got clever guys doing good stuff at low cost.
Yeah.
And the high end of the market, let's call it the mass bulk market, where you've got Games Workshop doing mass-produced stuff, can afford to make very high quality at pretty competitive prices. Then you've got Hawk, who are sort of similar size to Spartan, making very high quality, very popular games now.
They're kind of overtaking Spartan. They're replacing Spartan, pretty much.
Well, I think in the majority of cases they have. If you looked at UK Games Expo, how many tournaments there were for each of the games, there was a Drop Zone Commander and a Drop Fleet Commander. There was no sign of Spartan anywhere.
Completely?
No. There were X-Wing tournaments, I think it was the UK or maybe even the European X-Wing tournament there. There were basically tournaments for any game you can think of. Even Bushido, which is a really fringe game, had a tournament at UK Games Expo. And this is what I mean about companies really today have to put everything into this. It can't just be, well, we've got a website and we've got a forum and we occasionally post on Facebook and we make nice stuff, you know. That's not enough. You've got to be actively chasing your customers, because where I spend my £80 I've got this month for my hobby, whatever that is, you know, whatever the currency is, whatever the amount that is, it's being asked for from a lot of different people. And it's not like you can make an infinite amount of £80. We don't have that.
Be nice. You
know, I mean, we're quite lucky in being quite privileged and having the option to buy quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Buy quite a lot of stuff. Not everybody's in that position. The bulk of the market can't do that. So I think it's a really interesting development.
It is.
It's not one that I particularly expected, you know, a year ago.
Bloody hell no.
We wouldn't have thought Games Workshop would have listened to its customers.
I still don't think they would have, but apparently I was wrong.
Yeah, I think there's still a bit of scepticism in our hands because we just can't quite believe it.
I still like, wait, what? Games Workshop.
Yeah, it's like, listening? No, it can't be. But it really seems this new CEO has turned things around. So
yeah, well, we'll have to see, won't we?
We will indeed. I think that's just about wraps us up for this episode. So my thanks to our listeners out there in the gaming world for tuning in and downloading the show. You may have seen from the blog recently, we are now on Patreon. So we've always believed that this website podcast should be free at the point of listening, a bit like the NHS. But what we'd like to do is we're offering the Patreon site, if you think what we're doing is worthwhile and you want to contribute to the show, what we're going to do is actually use any funds from Patreon to buy sets that you, the listeners, will choose, go to events, whatever you think needs covering that we perhaps wouldn't normally or wouldn't be able to afford to, or any of those sorts of things. We'll ask you, the Patreon contributors, to actually choose that for us. So if you think that's something you'd like to do, go to patreon.com or go to Man's Model Moments, click on the website, there's a link on that, and you can donate anything from a dollar up to whatever you feel like. There are some pledge levels there with some rewards, so which include being able to come onto the show and rant with us, to be able to guide what we're actually doing in the show. So various different things. Go to patreon.com, have a look there, see what we're doing. Otherwise, have a look at Man's Model Moments. I'm going to be posting up some stuff on the Cthulhu Wars Onslaught 2 up there shortly. We'll be posting as well a breakdown of the new Dark Imperium set when it arrives later this week. So take a look on Kickstarter as well. There's all kinds of stuff there. But go to Onslaught 2 for Cthulhu Wars there and just see how that campaign panned out, and you can see all the stuff you might expect to see on the blog. Other than that, I would also recommend having a look at Games Workshop site, looking at the Dark Imperium. I think it's worth picking up. Even if you're not a 40k player, it's pretty good value. There are also a lot of miniature agnostic systems out there at the moment, like Rogue Stars, which we will again cover in another episode because we got that book recently. So even if you don't end up playing 40k, the minis are good. You can always sell them on eBay or Facebook, or you can use them in these other agnostic miniatures agnostic games. So definitely worth a look, I think. So I think that's all from us for this time. Please give us feedback on iTunes. Go over to Man's Model Moments. Have a look at what we're doing on the blog. Check us out on Facebook. Other than that, signing off from the Hub Systems, it's Alex.
And Oscar.
We'll see you next time.